Welcome back. It's Midday on the Arts. I'm Tom Hall, joined in the studio by Jay Wynn Russick, our theater critic. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here on this hot day.
Yes, it is a hot day. We're going to talk about a hot play, too, called Steel Magnolias. It's at the Spotlighters Theater. It takes place in a beauty parlor, as I recall. And I also recall that Baltimore Center Stage did a play not too long ago set in a beauty parlor. Is this like a subgenre that's all of a sudden sweeping the theater world? What's going on with this beauty
I don't think so. But a beauty parlor is a good setting for a play. When you think about it, customers open their hearts, and of course they gossip with hairdressers. Sheer Madness, the audience participation comedy at the Kennedy Center, has been there more than 30 years. It's one of the longest-running plays in American theater history, so there is something to this. And a beauty shop can also give a wonderful sense of place. That was true of the play at Center Stage, A Wonder in My Soul, which moved its setting to Baltimore. Steel Magnolias, not a new play, opened off-Broadway in 1987, was made into an all-star movie in 1989. It takes place in a beauty parlor in small-town Louisiana in the 1980s. The beauty shop or a barber shop also has the potential for lots of drama, but it can present a problem if most of that drama is talked about instead of seen enacted in front of you. And this happens in Steel Magnolias, which is actually more melodrama than drama. I'm going to call it a tearjerker comedy. Spotlighters production isn't as sprightly or as moving as it could be. You might even say it has a few hairs out of place. I have to add, at one point early on, Truvy, the owner of the beauty shop, says, "I've always wanted to go to Baltimore. I'm told it's the hairdo capital of the world." People seeing the show at the Spotlighters might think they added that line, but it's been in the script from the beginning. It's
wow.
A really nice salute
Take
to
that,
John
Hunfest.
Waters. Yep, John Waters coined that in his book, Shock Value. And then a few years after he coined that phrase, he did Hairspray.
Yeah. So a lot of the drama, as you say, takes place off stage. So what's all that drama about? In other words, these are people describing stuff that's happened in their lives, opening up their hearts to the hairdressers.
That's a lot of it, absolutely. The play begins on the wedding day of a bride named Shelby. And she and her mother, Melin, are having their hair done at Truvy's. And there are also a couple other regulars there. But Shelby's wedding is just the beginning of the drama. She's diabetic, and her doctor has cautioned her not to become pregnant, not to have children. In the second scene, which takes place just 8 months later, she is pregnant, and her mother is not very happy about this. She's scared. I should mention that the playwright Robert Harling is from Louisiana. He based the play on his own sister. Near the end of the play, Truvy says, "Laughter through tears is my favorite emotion." And that's really the play's philosophy. And it's also a play about sisterhood and resilience and how a group of women support each other in good times and in bad times, even though they sometimes snipe at each other. I brought an excerpt of a bit of drama we do see enacted on stage. This is Shelby breaking the news of her pregnancy to her mother, and you'll hear her mother's reaction.
"I'm going to have a baby, and I wish you'd be happy, too."
"Well, I wish... I don't know what I wish."
"I don't know why you have to make everything so difficult. I look at having this baby as the opportunity of a lifetime. And sure, there's risk involved, but that's true for anyone. You get through it and life goes on. When all is said and done, there's a little piece of immortality with Jackson's good looks and my sense of style, I hope." "Oh, Mama, I need your support. I'd rather have 30 minutes of wonderful than a lifetime of nothing special."
Karen Starlipper and Melanie Bishop in Steel Magnolias at the Spotlighter. So, Judy, does this show have an all-female cast? Is that right?
Yes.
How do
yes,
they do?
Yes, it does. There's six characters. They're great roles for women of different ages. The show's directed by Fuzz Rourke. I called it a tearjerker comedy. It does have lots of humor, particularly one-liners, and most of that comes through. On opening night, I'm sorry to say, Suzanne Young, who plays Truvy, the beauty shop owner, had some difficulty with her lines, and this character really sets the pace. In this case, she kind of slowed it down. And we also meet Truvy's new assistant at the top of the play. She's played by Erin Klarner, who kind of overdid this new girl's nervousness. So the production opening night didn't get off to the smoothest start. It may pick up. But the two actresses we just heard, Karen Starlipper and especially Melanie Bishop, are really excellent. You can feel the bond between this mother and daughter. Melanie Bishop leaves no doubt about her devotion to her daughter. And I also want to give a shout out to Valerie Lash, who plays Weezer, the most cantankerous character in town. She is always outraged about something. Here's how she makes her entrance.
This is it. I have found it. I'm in hell.
Morning, Weezer. Don't try to get on my good side. I no longer have one.
You're a little early. You weren't expected till 11-ish.
That's precisely why I'm here. I have to cancel. I have to take my poor dog to the vet before he has a nervous breakdown. My dog, I mean. The vet is perfectly healthy. Well, you must be the new girl.
Hi.
May I have a glass of water? I've been screaming this morning.
That's all right, imitating life. I've found it, and it is hell. This is what Luke says every time he sees me sitting in the studio. So that's Valerie Lash, Suzanne Young, and Aaron Klarner in the Spotlighters production of Steel Magnolias. So, Judy, you mentioned that the movie of Steel Magnolias is, you know, a big hit movie. Is the play really different? And by the way, do the women actually get their hair done on the stage? I mean, are we washing and setting and drying and putting curlers in and that sort of thing?
Well, the movie, of course, had an all-star cast. It had Julia Roberts and Sally Field and Shirley MacLaine and Dolly Parton, and it opened up the story a lot. There were a lot of different locations. There were more characters. We met Shelby's father. We met Shelby's husband. It was filmed in the Louisiana town where the playwright grew up, and the cast includes lots of extras. And you see a lot of the events that are just talked about on stage, like the wedding. But at the same time, setting the play entirely in the beauty parlor makes some sense because this place is like a sanctuary. And yes, in terms of getting their hair done, the set at the Spotlighters, which is designed by Alan Zemla, it has a working professional platform hair dryer, and it has a shampoo sink with running water. Most of the actresses are wearing wigs, but at times they have curlers in their hair and they get comb outs. The wig worn by Valerie Lash, whom we just heard as Weezer, is a real favorite of mine. She looks like Elaine Stritch, who, little bit of trivia, played that part in a 1990 TV pilot of Steel Magnolias, which just didn't make it.
Didn't make it. Good for her. So, I mean, bottom line here, Steel Magnolias, should we get our hair done at this joint? What do you think?
Well, maybe if you want a really poofy 1980s hairdo. But seriously, this is not a great play. It's too melodramatic. Spotlighters gets a lot of the details right, and the two leads do a really nice job. But in other respects, this is a production that could use a couple touch-ups. I do want to mention, before we leave, there are two things coming up at Spotlighters. As a fundraiser for the theater, the first three weekends in August, they're presenting A.R. Gurney's Love Letters. This is the play where two performers read decades of letters between lifelong friends, and each performance is going to be by different members of Baltimore's theater community, including MPT's Rhea Fiken and Baltimore Center Stage's Michael Ross. So that should be a fun thing. And then Sondheim fan that I am, I have to mention that Spotlighters has a two-night Stephen Sondheim cabaret, July 19th and 20th.
All right, a Sondheim Cabaret, we know you're going to be all over that one. All right, so Steel Magnolias, it's at the Spotlighters Theater until the 14th of July. They're on St. Paul Street here in Baltimore. We've got information on our website, wypr.org/midday. So next week, Judy, we're going to talk about a little show called Hamilton. Perhaps you've heard of it. So Linnell and I saw it last night with Rob and his wife, Carrie, and it's an amazing experience. I mean, I have never seen it before. I read Ron Chernow's book. I had the great honor of talking to Ron Chernow at an event that we did together. But it's a phenomenon. It seems to me that it's one of those things that lives up to the hype. It's an amazing experience in the theater.
It absolutely is a phenomenon. I haven't seen anything like it in my years of reviewing. And you feel that electricity even in the audience before the show begins.
Yeah, absolutely. People were just thrilled to be there, as were Linnell and I. And so we look forward to talking about that. It's at the Hippodrome Theater for another couple weeks, I guess, right?
Yes.
So we'll have a chance to talk about that. Then we'll see you then. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
Lunch for our guests today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. They're celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their year-long 75th anniversary celebration. For details, visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, it's the anniversary of the shootings at the Capital Gazette newsroom in Annapolis, in which five of the paper's staffers were killed. We'll have a conversation with Maria Hyacin. She is the wife of one of the journalists who perished that day, Rob Hyacin. Two books by Rob have now been published posthumously, and we'll talk about them when Maria Hyacin joins me tomorrow here on midday. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up right after the news from NPR at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Get out there and enjoy it. Have a great day.